As we begin to turn our attention to God's Word today, I want to just point out something you hear from me week after week. Almost every week I'm up here in one way or another. I write it into the announcements, invite someone to join you in something, right? I'm always on the lookout for ways to encourage you to make friends, to invite friends to join you in things, whether you're inviting them to church, inviting them to a church event, whether there's a community event going on, I'm saying get out there and bring someone with you, right? I'm always talking about inviting people. I want to persistently speak that message of invitation because in my heart and in my assessment of where our culture is today and how we can engage that culture as Christians, I believe that having a heart of invitation is key to transforming our world. And it's key to sharing Jesus with people who need him, but even when they don't recognize it yet. I believe it is our role as Christians to see how sin and separation from God have a negative impact on the world and then set out to change it. And one of the best ways we can do that in our culture today is to have a heart of invitation. We've already talked this morning about how divided our world is. We're so isolated from one another for lots of different reasons, whether it's political divisions and arguments. We worry about what people are going to think and say. I've heard countless accounts of families being divided because they can't talk about important issues. They just turn against each other. Or whether it's fear of what somebody might do to us. Or whether it's just the simple conveniences of our world today. We just end up isolated. Saw it yesterday, right, in a couple of different ways. One of them, as I point out, if you've been to a thrill park, amusement park, and you're standing in line, you know they have those TV screens that try to keep people entertained. And we're like, people don't even need those today because everyone's doing this. Everyone has their own little entertainment device to keep them entertained while they're waiting in line. That's our world today. And all of that contributes to isolation. The other example we saw of just how often we get wrapped up in our own lives and don't notice people was we were standing in line with a couple of young girls, maybe, 10, 11 years old? Something like that. Yeah, cousins. One of them was daring the other one to wave to people and ask them their name. And so the people were coming down this roller coaster, and she was saying, "Hey, what's your name?" And then they just started turning to the crowd, "Hey, hi," to everyone that walked by, "Hi." Yeah, counting how many people would wave back and just to say hi. Barely anyone even lifted their head to look in the direction of those girls. Hardly anyone. It was heartbreaking, really. They're trying to be friendly. They're being invitational. They're inviting people in just by with a simple hi, and people didn't even notice. That's the world we live in today. And I believe we as Christians have a calling to do something different about that. Jesus draws us together to create deep, meaningful bonds of open and honest fellowship, as we've been talking about here for the past few weeks. We're meant to just come together in Christ, shedding those layers and those masks that we put on and just presenting ourselves honestly of who we are, what God is calling us to be, allowing him to transform us. And that leads us into this deep and meaningful fellowship. So because of that, we are equipped to address the isolation in our world. And it all begins with an intentional attitude of welcome and invitation. Invitation is far more than just growing our church or getting more people to our events. And it can come across that way. When I'm saying week after week, invite, 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 it can sound like I just want more people, right? That's not the goal. Having more people would be the result, that would be the fruit of that, but the goal, the focus is not just getting more people. The mission of making disciples, as I talked about last week, is fulfilled by connecting with people in such a way that they come to recognize who Jesus is, and they're invited to open their lives up to him. That's relationship building work. It happens in and outside the church. It happens wherever we go, whatever we do. Jesus calls on us to go and make disciples among the people who are around us in all those situations. So being invitational is about providing opportunities for people to encounter Jesus through all kinds of big and small ways that we invite them into our lives. That's what inviting is meant for. It's just inviting, opening up your life to let other people in. And today, I hope we can come to see that being invitational is more than just an attitude of friendliness, but it's a lifestyle and a spiritual discipline, something we are called to do as Christians and is a way we serve Him. So let's first consider what God's Word tells us about being invitational. And the first thing I turn to is the book of John, John chapter 1, when Jesus begins calling His disciples. If you'd like to open up to John 1 and follow along, we'll read there. And as you're turning to that, just consider how Jesus lived a life of invitation. He sought people out. He opened Himself up to them. He showed interest in others. He had compassion on them and shared Himself with them wherever He went. So in John 1, starting in verse 35, we see an encounter shortly after Jesus was baptized. And John the Baptist actually has disciples of his own who begin asking about Jesus, because John has called Jesus the Lamb of God. And so they're wondering who this Jesus is. And John says, go and pursue Him. So in verse 35 in John 1, we read about two of John's disciples who begin to follow Jesus. Let's read what it says. It says, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of those who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And the next day he went and invited his brother, Simon Peter, to follow. Let's just examine this little encounter first of all. So these two young disciples start following Jesus. Doesn't see that they approached him, that they didn't come up to him and get his attention. They're just following him. And what did Jesus do? The first thing to point out, he noticed them. Noticing the people around you is a huge part of being invitational. Just paying attention to the people around you and not just what's happening in your own little world. Jesus noticed them and then stopped and turned to him. And it's interesting, you know, it's such a little thing, but it's a huge thing in our world today. Just going off that example, those two young girls yesterday, right? To actually stop and notice someone and then turn to speak to them. It's a huge thing in our world today. How often do we go through our daily tasks without barely even noticing the people we interact with? Not even saying a word? And there are lots of things we just go on autopilot with. And there are things that we have to get done, right? We have all this stuff going on, but what difference would it make if you just stopped and noticed and said something? And so Jesus just asked them, what is it you're seeking? So that's the second thing. He opens an invitation for them to share. He didn't start teaching them what he wanted them to know. He didn't start pointing out things about them and what they ought to be doing. He just said, what is it you're seeking? And they just want to know where he was staying. Now, think about how we might respond to that today. If somebody wanted to know where you're staying, they want to know where you live, you might say, okay, well, pull out your phone. I'll give you my address, right? Or I'll tell you where I'm staying. Or, hey, let's meet up sometime. Well, yeah. See, that's right. We tend to want to know people a little bit more than we invite them. Right. Well, and that's a point that I wrote in here, that personal safety is an issue. We live in a dangerous world, yes. We have to take those into consideration, but we shouldn't consider everyone to be dangerous, and we live in such a way that we never interact with anyone. But Jesus is the Lord, but in this moment, he invited these folks to come along with him. Come and see. That's an invitation that he offered, and they followed him, went where he lived, and they ended up staying with him for the full day, which means whatever plans Jesus had for that day were now changed because he invited these other people into the encounter, right? He might have still been able to accomplish what he wanted to do while they came along, but he still now had these two along with him that he was responsible for. Yeah, what are you thinking about? I see the smile. Well, it probably was Jesus' plan, right? Right. Jesus probably knew this was going to happen. But when you extrapolate to our lives, if we're going to be invitational, we don't know what's going to happen. Right. Right. Jesus' attitude was come and see. Contrast that with so many of our interactions with people today. How often do we avoid new people? We don't want to talk to them. We don't want them to ask questions about us. We're just not even going to pay attention, right? That happens a lot in our culture. How often do we assume negative things about them? Do we wonder if they're judging us? How often do we question their motives of intent? We look at the external. We see this person, we're like, oh, they are XYZ because of what we see, and I don't know if I want anything about that in my life. We make those kinds of quick judgments without even thinking, and we end up closing ourselves off from encounters with new people. As I said, certainly there are dangerous people in this world. There are safety considerations. We have to use good discernment about things. I go back to an encounter I had as a teenager walking through the streets of a town we were visiting, and some guy comes walking out in an alley, looked like the Terminator. And I'm like, that is not a dude I want to mess with right now. And let me get away from here, right? We have to use discernment, but do we apply that to every person we encounter? Do we just naturally just try to prevent anything from happening and close ourselves off? I'm really struck by that fact that Jesus didn't just tell these guys where he was staying and say, hey, let's meet up sometime. How often do we do that? Oh yeah, I'm really enjoying this encounter with you. Let's make a plan to get together sometime. And when does sometime come? Never. Sometime after the time. Right, but we tend to leave those open-ended kind of invitations. We don't make a plan. We don't pull out our calendars right now and say, let's meet here and then. It's like, sometime we'll get together. And we end up not following through. Yeah. Right. The stuff that we're doing ends up being more important than the encounter and the opportunity. Maybe we could learn to say, okay, let's decide what sometime is right now. Or I'm going to take responsibility to make sure sometime becomes a definite time. Right? Invitational is in creating those opportunities to invite people into our lives. Jesus opened his own life up to those people right then and there. How do we make that kind of direct invitation to people into our lives? Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Here's where Jesus makes an invitation to all people. This is part of a prayer that he was praying. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus is praying to the Lord, and he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus opens his life up to all who are struggling with life, not just to those who would make his life easier and comfortable and pleasant. Again, another feature of our culture today, get rid of the burdensome people. Remove the toxic people from your life, right? Make your life easier is the statement of the day. It's not what Jesus did, and that's not what he calls us to do. Come, all who are burdened. and take my yoke upon you. He's opening up his life to all of us. It wasn't for his enjoyment that he welcomed them. He was not just engaging people on a surface level. He is inviting us to go and be close to him and go deeper with him, to open up our lives to him, to share our burdens with him. And as we do so, to take on his yoke. Now, we have to understand a little bit more about Jesus, understand why that's a good thing, right? He's not just saying, trade your burden for my burden now, but rather to understand that his burden is light, that he's inviting you to a life of more freedom, to release those burdens and come and follow me and live the way I call you to live, because you will discover that this is a life of freedom and of joy. He offers a life of greater fulfillment when we take on his yoke, living for him instead of for ourselves. The point here is that Jesus is inviting all people, those who are weak and weary and burdened and struggling, come and be with me, and you will discover a new life. It's an invitation to a life of transformation and freedom. And so it's not just about enjoyment and friendship. Let's read now Romans 15, 1 through 7, where the Apostle Paul points to the example that Jesus set of being invitation and welcoming others. Romans 15, 1 through 7. Paul says here, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." There's so much in there about being open and inviting and welcoming, and that is what leads to people living in harmony with one another, glorifying Jesus. Paul knows this isn't easy for us, but he reminds us that God can give us the endurance and the encouragement. Right? It's through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures that we might have hope that this could be possible. And that's how God addresses our concerns about connecting and inviting others' peoples into their lives. There's lots of reasons for us to be concerned about that. This is not a simple, nice world all the time. But it's through the endurance and the encouragement provided us through God that we are able, we can have confidence that it is possible for us to invite people into our lives and for them to come to know the Lord and for us to be united to one another. That's what this passage is all about. And notice how he starts it out. This isn't a suggestion that he's making for us. What does he say in verse 1? We who are strong have what? An obligation. And this is what really makes me sit and think that this is not just God inviting us to be hospitable and kind and friendly. He's saying, this is my command. This is part of the mission. This is what I expect of you as my followers, to be welcoming to others, to invite them into your life. Paul places on the emphasis on the fact that we who have been made strong in Christ have this obligation. We are the ones who are equipped to go out and do this work. Think about the world that we live in. Who else is equipped the way a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God has to go out and show this kind of love to the weak and the weary and the burdensome? We are the ones equipped and called to this work. It is our role and our place to be the ones to invite others in, inviting them into our lives, into meaningful connection, into the light of Jesus that ought to be coming from within us as we continue to seek the Lord and draw close to Him. So this kind of invitational living that I'm talking about today is, again, not about being just friendly and hospitable. This is sacred work, pouring out the grace of God into other people's lives. And I have two more passages to look at before we just digest this all a little bit. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 14 now. In Luke, we read that Jesus was invited to a dinner at the home of the ruler, some Pharisees. So you can imagine how the people were there, were testing him, they were watching him. The Pharisees were asking him questions, trying to trip him up. And at one point, Jesus turns to the important ruler who has invited him into his home. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When we think about being invitational, it can be so easy to just focus on those people you're comfortable with, your family, your friends, your close, the people who are close to you. Come on around. Let's enjoy fellowship together, right? And that's wonderful to be able to do that. That is part of living life together. But Jesus points out, if that's where your focus is, that we're just inviting those who are going to invite us back, we're creating this closed circle of friendships where we just continue to bless one another back and forth. And we lose sight of the fact that there are those who are not yet in our circle, who are desperately in need of the love that we share with one another. We need to look outside constantly and find those people, notice those people who are not yet in the circle. We need to make space constantly for the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind, those who cannot repay, those who can't bless you in return for what you're doing for them. Many times they're going to want to. We're all very uncomfortable receiving without giving back. But it's got to be okay. We got to be willing to let people just say, hey, it's okay. I don't want anything in return from you. I just want to welcome you in. I want you to know the love of Jesus. Just come and be part of us. Finally, Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Again, the same point. Invite the strangers in. When was the last time you invited someone into your life who could not repay you or give you comfort? When have you sought out the stranger to show them God's love and invited them into friendship? As I was writing this message, I just had the thought going through my mind so many times of how many times do we tell kids especially, don't talk to strangers, don't talk to strangers. This gets embedded into us, doesn't it? Don't talk to strangers. Jesus says, talk to a stranger. Again, use discernment. Yes, it is. I know. It is for good reason that kids are told that. There is discernment needed, but we can take their hand. That's a good idea. Take their hand and talk to a stranger that we have discerned as a stranger to welcome, right? When was the last time we invited a stranger into friendship? And has your hospitality been a sacrificial offering to the Lord? To say, Lord, I want to extend what you have given me to people who do not know it yet. Not just to those I already know and am comfortable with, but to somebody new. If invitational living is a sacred offering, then it needs to be intentional. It's something we have to pursue. So how do we go about making space for others like this into our daily lives? We are busy. We may not know what to say or how to reach out to people. We may not always be comfortable talking to people we don't know. Those are all real concerns that we have. But God can handle all of those problems. And he is calling on us to make ourselves available to him just as we are. In saying this, I am not saying every one of you is going to become the kind of extroverted person who can go out and meet everyone in a room and then suddenly have a room full of friends, right? There are all kinds of big and small ways that God can work through you just as you are to invite other people in, to be welcoming, to be noticing of them. And you'd be amazed at what a big difference that can make. Think about this invitational lifestyle as a spiritual discipline. Just like regular prayer and Bible reading and study, learning to give generously, they don't come naturally to us. I don't think any spiritual discipline comes naturally. It's not something we do on our own power. We invite the Holy Spirit to work in and through us to teach us these things and to help us to do them. The same thing is true with living invitationally. We need to pray about it. We need to ask God for ability, and we need to make a plan for it. Having a plan is essential. How many of you use a Bible reading plan? Or you pick a book of the Bible to read, right? If you're going to dig into the Bible, you plan what you're going to do. The plan helps you to know where to start and what you're going to do each day, while at the same time still leaving room for God to change direction as he speaks to you through that process. But you have a plan. The intentionality of a plan helps you see the opportunities God places before you. And so when it comes to invitational living, you need to plan for how you're going to build this into your life. And the first thing I think of is you need to plan for unexpected moments of invitation. You never really know when someone new is going to enter into your life where God is saying, hey, welcome them. You don't know when a new moment of connection will arrive, but you can prepare yourself to have those moments. And that may be that you begin your day reminding yourself that it is pleasing to God when you make space for other people, when you actually break away from your list of what you have planned for the day and invite someone in. It's pleasing to the Lord to do that. It's not being neglectful. It's not procrastinating. It is doing the Lord's work sometimes. That's okay. If an opportunity comes and you need to change plans or let something go, rather than allowing frustration to creep in, give those things to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I still need to do these things, but you're giving me this opportunity, so I'm going to need your help. God will bless that. He will help you do those things. Ask the Lord for help to be available to people. And the more you live that way each day, the more natural it becomes to just be available to people. Being invitational also takes learning to notice others. Jesus noticed the woman at the well. He noticed the tax collector Zacchaeus. He noticed a lame man waiting to be healed. All throughout the scriptures we read about Jesus noticing these people who are kind of behind the scenes, off to the side, not noticed by others. There was a bleeding woman who didn't want to be noticed, right? But he noticed her. Yeah. Yeah, he touched her garment. Or she touched his garment. He felt the power go out, and he noticed her. We have to learn to notice people like that. And how can you take noticing people around you? How can you take on noticing people around you who might be overlooked? Many of those people are longing to be noticed, right? And it just takes an awareness on our part. It might begin with a commitment to the Lord that you're just going to notice one new person each day. Maybe that's what it is. Just, Lord, help me to notice somebody new today, to see something in them, somebody outside my normal circle of interaction. Maybe you can block out a certain time each week when you're going to practice this. Reintentionally go somewhere and be available to others. I spend periodic time at the coffee shop working. It's my office, but I tell people, if I'm there, I'm available. If you have something you want to talk about, sit down. I'll put my work aside, right? That's me practicing this. I am not, all this stuff that I'm preaching is not come natural to me. I am not naturally able to strike up conversations with people. If you know me, you know that to be true. But I have taken it upon myself that this is the work God's called me to, and I have to learn how to do this. And so I try to put myself out there and ask where God to give me words to say, right? And I've learned along the way, maybe having simple phrases. Wendy was good with this with our kids. She'd see a situation that the kids struggled with, and she would give them words that they could say in advance to know what to say when the situation came up again. Right, they tried on words. Right, yeah, and it was something that they were comfortable with, but we practiced statements. You could practice, what am I going to say to a stranger that's going to show them that I've noticed them, that I care about them, right? Right, yeah, it was fun to try on some ridiculous things. But I think about this, like when you're out in the world, I think when I started trying to be a little bit more invitational, I would try to make sure I asked people, hey, how are you doing? But then I realized that that is what everyone says. And it's one of those easy, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, and we're just done. And so I encourage going a little bit further than that, to actually invite a response from that person, a meaningful response, maybe asking them, hey, how has your week been? Or, hey, what's something great that happened to you today, right? What's a high-low buffalo in your life, right? Bring a smile. But come up with those simple phrases that you have in your pocket ready to go that you can say that it actually invites someone to respond in a meaningful way. That's a way of being welcoming. And that in itself might be all that person needs that day, because now they know somebody actually cares. And I tell you, people don't know that others care. They need to know. People need to know this. And if we can just do those simple things and be ready for those simple, unexpected encounters, we can make a huge difference in their lives. Invitation begins with noticing and taking action by asking those questions. And as you start to make this kind of space in your life, you will find opportunities to do even more. Some of those people that you make that quick connection with, you'll suddenly strike up a conversation with. And then the next thing you know, you'll be saying, hey, let's have coffee together. Let's go out for a meal together. We have somebody coming over today to share a meal, to make us a meal. Somebody who graduated from high school with our boys that we connected with in small ways while they were still in high school, and now is a 27, something like that, 26-year-old young man, remembered us, remembered Wendy, some conversations he had with her about careers, came over to talk about career opportunities, and now he's coming to make a meal with us. Those little things can lead to bigger things. An opportunity to be welcoming, to share God's love in bigger ways. I mean, I'm not saying jump to those big things right away. I'm saying start small and see what happens. Yes, if you hear a little girl saying hi, look at her and say hi back. Right? Maybe go over and ask her how she's enjoying the fair today. Right. Anyway, and as you begin to live invitationally like this, right, you're inviting people into your daily life. You're building connections, right? All this stuff that we talk about as fellowship starts to happen, all because we made space for other people. And then the next natural step, I believe, is just inviting them to connect with others that you know. That's where invitation into your church family comes in. You invite them to know other people who know Christ. And you start to say, hey, we've got this church event going on. Will you come with me? Hey, why don't you come join me for Sunday worship? Inviting people to connect with your church family is inviting them into the circle of fellowship where you learn and grow and draw closer to Christ. And it's meant to be an invitation for them to have more meaningful connection and interaction. And we may need to understand that that's what we're inviting people into. We're not inviting people into this church merely for the sake of getting bigger. I say that again and again, and I really mean it. I'm not asking you to just bring people here so we can have a big church. We want this to be a community in which people find acceptance and grace. They're learning from God's word together. That's the kind of community that this world needs. And that's what we're going to stay focused on here. But do we look around what we have here and we go, we're kind of a small church. We don't have a lot of programs. We don't have XYZ that the church down the road has. And I don't know if I can invite someone into that because we just can't give them all those things. Or do we look at this and recognize the great value of community, of that deep and open fellowship that we're seeking to establish and build here? A community who loves Jesus and cares for another. And can we get excited about the joy and transformation that can produce in somebody's life when we invite them into it? What if the intimacy of this church is exactly what someone is looking for? That's what we have to offer this world. Invitation into our church family is meant to be an expression of love for someone, an extension of the love that we experience together, an expression of the love you've already shared with them, maybe on a personal basis, before you've invited them into the larger gathering. It's not an obligation, but an opportunity to connect at a deeper level and draw close to Jesus together. And we always have to know if people don't respond to an invitation, maybe they just haven't responded today. We keep inviting, but we let them make the choice, and we continue to connect with them on a personal level because that's where Jesus is working right now. We continue to invite them into our lives. A lifestyle of invitation is what we're looking for, what Jesus is looking for. So let's make it a priority to cultivate that lifestyle and normalize inviting new people into our lives and into our existing fellowship for the sake of offering the life-changing fellowship Jesus can provide. Recognize that genuine invitation, the kind that we're talking about today, is missing in our world today. In a lot of ways, our culture has lost this. And it is our role to regain it, to build it in new ways. The Holy Spirit equips us to restore it. Develop this as a spiritual discipline, one that is just as important as those that bring you individually closer to Jesus. Beginning to invite others is an act of grace that welcomes them into the presence of Jesus. And this is how a church becomes irresistible. It's not through strategies or programs or marketing schemes. It is about being genuinely open with one another, seeking Jesus, and always welcoming new people into that connection. That's what we're seeking here. That's what Jesus is seeking. And this is sacred work. Let's take on this responsibility with joy because we get to share with the world what Jesus has generously shared with us. What would happen if every one of us made intentional space in our lives to invite others in on a regular basis? If we truly committed to noticing the people God places around us and opening ourselves up to them, welcoming them in big and small ways to see the love of God through us, what would happen? Would our world look different? Would our church feel different? Would we grow deeper in our faith? Could we possibly change the world? I believe so. Through simple acts of invitation. Pray each day for eyes to see opportunities God places in your life and for the wisdom and love and faith to step into them. Make a plan for how you will develop your discipline to live invitationally. Be bold and confident in Christ. Step forward in faith and extend those invitations to others, knowing the joy of being welcomed by Jesus is something that we're meant to share. We are called to go out and generously share what Jesus has given us through his own death and resurrection. So I challenge you to live invitationally. Take it on as a spiritual discipline. Look around you each day, noticing those who may be longing for meaningful connection, and open your life to them. with the powerful and transforming love of Jesus. This is our calling. This is our mission. And this is how we tell people who Jesus is and change the world through his love. Let's give thanks to God that he has given us this opportunity to make a difference for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for coming into our lives, for showing us your welcome and your love. Lord, for teaching us what a joy it is to live for you. And I pray that you would help each one of us to begin by noticing those around us even more. Noticing where the needs are. Noticing that our world desperately needs connection. And reminding us that we have the power through you to make those connections. Teach us all to live invitationally, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.